Welcome to the Keystone Sports Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your bi-week edition of the obligatory Keystone Crossover, where we take the very best of the obligatory PSU pregame show. I don't know, I just refer to myself as the very best, some of the very best, at least one-fourth of it, and some percentage, I don't know how many people you have, Jim, of the Keystone Sports Network's very best, mash them together and give you a little extra content midweek to keep you going through this crazy, stupid, beautiful thing we call the college football season. We hope you enjoy it. We've been trying to create a little bit of synergy, to use a corporate word, between our two programs and also promote what we have to offer our audience on our own. And so this is actually going to be the last week that we post the weekly episode of the crossover to both of our podcast feeds. So Jim Galante and I switch off hosting duties. So when I'm the fake host, like I am today, we'll post it to the obligatory podcast feed. And when Jim's the host, he'll post it to the KSN feed. Best way to make sure you never miss an episode, if you're enjoying this little tidbit of content every week, is to subscribe to both. You'll get a little something different from each of us, but I think if you're a Penn State fan, you love college football, you'll be happy with everything you get. So, Jim, Groundhog Day, a trip to Kinnick, a high ranking, an unbelievably frustrating and stultifying finish that makes me want to lay down on train tracks. How you doing?
I'm still licking my wounds, Chris. It was this felt different because for a quarter and a half, my Nittany Lions were the much better team. Not just better, the much better team. I was feeling pretty good about things, still nervous, but feeling good. And how do you classify injuries? You can't predict it. It's random. It didn't even look like that bad a hit on Sean Clifford. He misses the rest of the game. You have a backup quarterback that obviously wasn't ready. I think I'm more sad than mad.
I think I'm somewhere in between those two emotions. I'm not mad, for sure. And I'm not sad either. I'm resigned, I suppose. I understand the injury bug is the ultimate in random chance, twist of fate. Nevertheless, you had what you wanted people to believe was the roster of the number four team in America. And you had three quarters to score like 6 points to win a game because of how unbelievably well your defense played. You couldn't do it. I don't know. I am resigned to just whatever different variation on the theme of this until the end of civilization. So it is what it is.
Well, but what this game does, though, Chris, is it's a good segue into what I wanted to talk about this week. And I'm going to go back to a conversation you and I had last week, and it had the same tone as this conversation. I think you had the resignation of, is Penn State what it is? At best, a 10-2 team, a pretty good team that wouldn't make that get to that elite status that we all want them to
clear,
get to.
Very, very good. I said this on our show. There's like a dozen programs in the country, at best, that enjoy what Penn State's got, and I'm incredibly grateful for it. It can be super frustrating in the immediate wake of a loss. By the way, I would much rather be where we are, just as a generic program, than where the vast, vast majority of FBS is. And when you add in the fact that we also get to be Penn Staters, meet a great university, and have a great place like Happy Valley, nothing like it. So I don't want to come across as unappreciative, but I am highly, highly skeptical that there's another gear for this program to get to. That's just me.
And that's the thing. Everyone, starting at James Franklin, wants to get from really good, which I think 10-2 is, to elite. So how do you get there? What is the difference? And in thinking about this over the last several years, and college football is different today than it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago when John Schaefer could take you to the national championship. This is and no disrespect, but if you take a look at those teams that we call the elites And what do they have in common? Yes, they all do recruit very well throughout their lineup, but Alabama, Tua, Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, guess what? All three of them are starting in the NFL today. Clemson, they won with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Guess what? Starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Oklahoma may not be quite to that level, but they make the playoffs pretty consistently. Mayfield, Murray, also Jalen Hurts, he shows up here a couple times. And perhaps the best example of all this is LSU. The outsider who came into the playoffs and won it. What was different, I'm asking you, Chris, about that one year that they won it? What was different about that LSU
team? Well, certainly
team?
The collection of talent up and down the roster, but the difference maker was the season that Joe Burrow had, one of the all-time greats in college football, no question.
Exactly, and they have not been the same since. They weren't the same before. So circling this back to Penn State, I do believe they've accumulated a pretty good amount of talent. Take a look at that defense. And the difference is, at quarterback, Trace McSorley was a really good quarterback in college. But was he one of these elites where he's going to be a first-round draft pick and a starting quarterback in the NFL? No. Same thing with Sean Clifford. If you're his biggest fan, you still have to admit he's not at the level of some of these other guys that we talked about here that have won national championships. And now, what does this game Saturday tell us? What does that do to my argument here? I think it supports it because it shows the value of the quarterback position. With Sean Clifford, a pretty good college quarterback, Penn State is the dominant team. They're up by 2 touchdowns a couple minutes into the second quarter, and I think they're on their way to a 3-touchdown win. You take Sean Clifford out, a really good college quarterback, and you put in someone, their first shot at it, unprepared, obviously, and everything falls apart for them. So I'm putting a lot of value on quarterback position. Maybe that's not news to anybody, but what I'm saying is it's perhaps even more so than you're willing to admit. That value is there. Until you can get that elite quarterback, I'm not sure you could win the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the direction, Jim, that offenses have gone in the last like 15 or so years, give or take, has increased the premium on having an elite quarterback. I agree for sure. And I, you know, again, I'm just kind of going back mentally in my Rolodex inside my head all the way back to the start of the playoff era. And you even that first year, you think about the quarterback play of, you know, guys like Cardell Jones had like one of the great runs, like career-wise, that guy did not amount to much. But when he stepped in for JT Barrett, he played 3 of the best games for an Ohio State quarterback in succession when they absolutely needed them. And then, of course, that was the same year when you had Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota had their teams in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's been pretty much a hallmark of playoff and playoff contending teams that they find a way to bring in one of these elite signal callers. We saw Oklahoma come all the way back on Texas because they were able to pull Caleb Williams, a guy Penn State went right to the wire with Oklahoma for, and once again we fell short. And that's what I talk about. Does this program have a ceiling? I just don't know that we are ever going to be able to match up our ability to get one of those elite quarterback recruits who can play at a Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence type level, and all the other pieces we need to put around them and have the right coaching staff in place without assistants going out all over the map because they succeed and then they go to other jobs. At this point, I was just going to say they're going to have to prove it to me, and I'm not going to go on faith anymore, but I just got to confess something to you, Jim, and to the entire audience, and let me be abundantly clear how much I hate myself because of this, but I always say I'm going to be honest with the audience and truthful. And I hate it. I hate that I'm saying this. I'm a total moron. Please come back and throw it in my face. But I still believe in this Penn State team. I don't know why, but I still have a feeling that all the things we were saying about them going into the Iowa game, about being different and being just one standard deviation off in terms of mental focus and cohesiveness as a team, is still true. Now, they may make total fools of me in 3 weeks, and they probably will when they go out to Columbus and get their asses handed to them on a scarlet and silver platter like they always do. But until such time, I'm a believer, man. And that makes me a gigantic idiot.
I think I don't think so, Chris. Let me tell you why I think some of that optimism is warranted. This is, first of all, I think this is a special defense that Penn State has. I heard somebody say, well, gee, if they were really special, they would not, they had a 10-point lead in the second half against Iowa, they would have held on.
Come on.
I'm not sure that's
fair. We averaged
fair.
Like a that, point that, and 25 fair. Yards a quarter. Anybody who is putting this on the defense is just a totally intellectually dishonest buffoon. I mean, that's absurd. That is an absurd standard.
Well, and so that's pretty special, and I think this is a pretty good team with Sean Clifford out on the field. My take on it is this may be the 1 year where there's not – I don't see Joe Burrow out there. I don't see Trevor Lawrence, okay? Now, maybe Caleb Williams will become that guy, but I'm not sure we see that team. Maybe Stroud at Ohio State will become that guy, but I don't think he's that guy yet. And if there was ever a time when things are open for a really good team with a really good quarterback, this might be it with this Penn State team. I'll also point out that, you know, Penn State, you mentioned Caleb Williams, which I'm really glad you did, because there are people who are talking about how does Oklahoma get a backup who could just step right in and perform the way he did. Well, I'll tell you why. He was a five-star guy. He is one of those elite guys. And Penn State really wanted him and went down to the wire with him. Justin Fields, they actually had a commitment from him. Again, we all know how that changed. Even look at, he left Georgia because Georgia didn't have the good sense to say, hey, I'm going to make Justin Fields my number one guy. They had a pretty good quarterback that they said we'll stick with, instead of going with the guy who could be elite. My question to you now is, Chris, going forward, can Penn State get that guy? Is Drew Aller that guy? The commit from Ohio, who seems to be putting up some pretty special numbers as a senior in high school this year.
Well, we'll see, and I hope so, obviously. I mean, when I'm honest about my skepticism, it's not because I'm hoping to be right. I'm deeply, deeply hoping to be wrong. I'm just trying to call it as I see it. You know, you brought up Joe Burrow earlier. To go back to the point about Justin Fields, I do always like to remind people that Ohio State ran Joe Burrow out of town because they couldn't get Justin Fields on the field for them fast enough. And who's the only one who finished with a national championship ring, right? And to the question of how does Oklahoma beat Penn State out for Caleb Williams? Well, it's because they have a coach who runs a system that produces Heisman Trophy winners and number one draft picks. And so that's going to be the challenge for Penn State. Every time you bring in a Joe Moorhead or potentially a Mike Yurcich, they're already auditioning for a head coaching job. So the question is, can you put enough consistency in place from year to year and look, staff turnover to staff turnover, in order to be able to get over the hump with one of those guys? Because I do agree with you. That's the fastest route into a 4-team playoff is with one of these elite-tier quarterbacks, and they are few and far between, for sure. And just to touch on something we talked about last week, Sean Clifford appreciation. One thing I thought was really impressive about the difference between Sean the first 2 years of his career, especially last season and this year, he comes out and on the very first snap of the game throws like the worst interception imaginable. Sorry, second worst interception imaginable, because Taquan Roberson threw the worst. And yet the best defensive back in the Big Ten still hurt himself celebrating catching it. So it is what it is. But he throws that pick, and it was like it didn't even matter. He just flushed it and came back, and on the next series was the Sean Clifford we've seen all season. So that, to me, is the big difference. That ability to just flush it, move on, and maintain his focus and execute the offense with efficiency. So we get him back healthy on the field. It's one reason why my idiotic faith in this team may actually prove to be justified.
I think it could be. And my very last thought on that interception from Sean Clifford, not only did he come back, but I think had a lot to do with the defense holding Iowa to a field goal at that point. To me, that if Penn State had gone on to win the game, I would have said right there was the difference in the game. It changed momentum. Not only took 4 points off the board, it changed the momentum of that game.
Well, we got a bye week to get everybody healthy, to get that defense some rest. They have certainly earned it. We'll get Illinois at home on homecoming in 2 weeks. We'll see what happens. We'll be back with the obligatory Keystone crossover next week. You can find that on the KSN channel. So just search Keystone Sports or download the Keystone Sports app to subscribe or follow all of their content as well as ours. Jim, it's always a pleasure. Any final thoughts for the good of the order before we get out of here?
Just that. Have faith, folks. Have faith. And let's hope Sean Clifford comes back.
You heard the man.
Soon.
Be a dummy like me. Have faith. Take care of yourselves and each other. We are.
Keystone Sports Network.